Well, thank you for allowing us to come and share with you again today. We are in pursuit, and I always forget to kind of just, I get in go mode, and we come, and we do ministry, and then we leave, and then there's always people like, that was great. Who are they? So just share a little bit about that. But the last time I was in here, I want to share about that. Every time I come here, it's related to having fun. I love this. I love coming here and having fun. Last year we had a service like this. It was actually my first time being here. Really enjoyed myself. It was a great message. I think it was called Cross It Out. We had a little bulletin board come out and cross some stuff out. It was really fun, interactive. I love to be interactive. And then the last time I was in here, I got really hit really hard by a ball. It was an awesome time we had in here with some dodgeball. And all these youth groups were here, and it was fun, real competitive. I love being competitive. I didn't win, but I hit some people with the ball really hard. But anyway, it was fun. It was really good. Thank you, Pastor, for having us to come today. I always enjoy coming and traveling, and you guys are so close to us. I love just sprinting down here and having a great time with another part of our family. It's like a little bit of reunion when we go to other churches. And Jen, thank you. For playing with us today. Thank you. I didn't catch your name, I'm sorry, playing the piano. That was awesome. And the sax. Oh, man, I love brass. That was great. Thank you for playing the sax today and blending with us. It was really, really fun. And thank you, praise and worship team, from In Pursuit. You guys did great, especially the lead singer. She's amazing. She's beautiful. She's mine. So anyway. But I'm going to share something with you that I actually shared with our church last week. I typically don't just, you know, pull that whole evangelist back card, you know, instant pudding, you know, kind of thing when we go to churches. I love to hear the heart of God for the church. And Pastor, you already laid it out. You already laid out some things this morning that kind of just opened the door, cracked the door for us just to hear the word today. So I'm excited. I love confirmation and just allowing, you know, God to stay, show up, reveal himself, and do a work in all of our lives. Are you ready for the Word of God?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to start off with, before I pray, with just this little simple, I don't know, introduction. I noticed that in the movies that there's this real common theme, superheroes. It's coming back, or they're redoing it or revamping it. Can't wait for next month. Star Wars is coming out. I'm a movie guy. I love it. But I love superheroes, and I'm not really up to date on all the new superheroes. It's like, as we go on many years, they just kind of come up with new superheroes all the time. I can't keep up with them. But I'm a little older than my students, and I'm real traditional to, like, just Batman, you know, Superman, Spider-Man. You know, I'm a real easy kind of guy. But anyone else out there have a superhero? You can just raise your hand. I'll call on you. Students, you know. Anyone else in the congregation? You got a superhero? No? Superhero right there? Batman? I like Batman. Anyone else? I know y'all like superheroes. All right. Well, just for the sake of balance, yes, superhero.
Wonder Woman.
What? Of course, Wonder Woman. All the way back, Cassie?
Green Lantern.
Green Lantern. Awesome one. Hannah?
Jesus.
We're getting there. We'll get there. We'll definitely get there. One more, Emily.
Thor.
Had to slip that in there. Well, like I said, I'm going to lay out some things. As you can see on the screen, that the title of the message is Undercover Agent. And before I can even really give you the word of God about Undercover Agent, I'm actually going to talk about some superheroes. And I got some slides that just kind of helps with me just giving you a little bit of a presentation here today. And it says, superheroes have two identities. They are known by how they're dressed. They are defined by what they give. They are honored, respected, and favored, and followed by how they leave a place, not how they show up. Now, I want to pause there. It's, you know, something we never really notice. We're always in need of a superhero. But what we respect them, we follow them, and we favor them is because how they leave, not how they show up. And as a Christian, we almost should have that same kind of leave with people. When you leave, there should be these kind of things. When a superhero leaves a situation, not how he shows up, it's safe. It's comfort. It's protected. It's secure. But I believe that for there to be a superhero, there has to be some kind of hidden thing that allows them to have two identities. And it says, all superheroes have a special power that's kept secret because of their secret place. It's because of their secret hidden place that they can continue to have the secret weapon or a special power. And that's where we can focus on, that's where they can focus on what to do, where to go, and how to use what's been given to them with the sole purpose of saving. But I want to focus today on the secret place that allows them to have this separate identity as a secret agent. Everyone should have a secret place. In this world that we live in, this fantasy land, if we lived in fantasy land, we can believe in superheroes. And in the life that we live in the church, we can become undercover agents. And in the church, we're also called Christians. But when we're outside the church, do we have the identity to be a secret agent for other people to become Christians? That math doesn't happen unless you have a secret place. Now, I might not be, you might not ever be a superhero, but in your world or in your place, you should make space to have Jesus Christ in your life. It's being an undercover agent. Now, me, I'm an undercover agent. So you might see me as Pastor Daniel, but you know, you don't really know what's underneath. I'm an undercover agent. All right? You're laughing because last week I did this whole sermon, and I forgot to do that. So I wanted to pause just so that I have a secret identity. I'm not Superman, but there is a Superman within the man. And his name is Jesus Christ. The S doesn't mean super, it means Savior. And the Savior dwells within me that gives me a secret weapon. I am an undercover agent because of who dwells in me, because I take time to dwell with Him. Jesus never showed up and showed off. Think about it. Jesus never showed up to show off. He always came to reveal His Father. Even after He did amazing things, even after He did all these miracles and He did all these works and He has all these signs, there were so many times that He said, don't tell anyone. Because it was never about Him, it was about where He came from and who brought Him. He always wanted to reveal the Father's will. He always wanted to reveal the Father. He always wanted to reveal the purpose, the plan of what God and God alone can do. Jesus didn't want to keep Himself secret. But His whole thing was about giving what He gained from the secret place. It's not so many times in the Bible that you see that Jesus went and prayed, but He had to pray, be able to do what He did. He had to. And now I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to pray two different ways. I'm going to pray just not only for myself, because it's a good idea. And then I want everyone else just to just repeat after me. We'll just do a little decoration, prayer. And we'll just set us up for us to receive the word. Is that okay? Everyone cool with that? Cool. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank You, Father God, for this time. Thank You for this opportunity. I thank You, Lord, for just even allowing us just to come and even breathe today, Father God, because You are the God of life. And we thank You, Lord, that You're not only the Alpha and the Omega, but You are the beginning and the end. Allow Your word to be alive today. Bring revelation. Manifest Yourself, Father God. Allow me to decrease into the most maximal way so that You can bring Your presence in the most greatest way. And we thank You, Father God, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll do something simple. It sounds real youthy, but I did youth ministry for a long time, so I love doing that kind of stuff. Say, today is the day.
Today is the day.
That was practice. Today is the day.
Today is the day.
For God to have His way.
In my life.
For the rest of my life.
In Jesus' name.
Now, what did you just do? Besides have a little fun, a little interaction, you actually just opened up your heart for God to do a work in your life. Because today, not only are we going to talk about being an undercover agent, we're going to talk about something very, very needed and it's called The Secret Place. Now, The Secret Place is a very, very powerful thing if you have it. And there's so many times that we can focus in church, we can focus on sermons about secrets. There's a time and a place for that, but I'm not going to take this time to talk about secrets. I'd rather talk about how God can work in our lives, how God can be in our lives, and how can God multiply the kingdom through our lives by the secret place, and not so much focus on secrets. But let's pause for a second. We have secrets. We have secrets. Everyone in this room has secrets. But you know what? I tell the young people all the time, and I've said this for years, that the only power that the enemy has on us is your secrets. Besides that, he ain't got nothing. He's got nothing. It's our secrets that hold us back from getting closer. It is something we do. We blame the devil for a lot of things, but some things we create. And there's so many times when I study this, and I actually eliminated it from the sermon because it could be so much long talking about secrets. But I'm going to just point on a lot of things. It's very obvious that, you know, it says that, you know, that he can expose all things. He shall expose all things, that all things will be brought to the light. That's a shame for things to be hidden in secret, or those things to be hidden. And those are all real true things. And I don't want to take up too much time with that. But I want to focus on doing not only a house cleaning. You ever heard of that before? You know, we need to do a house cleaning. You know, let's do a house cleaning. You know, let's clean out the house for Jesus. But we're going to focus today on a closet cleaning. A closet cleaning. We're going to do a closet cleaning to make room for Jesus. And there's so many times that we don't want to do a closet cleaning because of the secrets that we don't want to come out. We don't want to reveal. We don't want to be reminded. And you've heard this saying before? Skeletons in the closet. Oh, you know, oh, I got skeletons in the closet. Don't get too close to my life, or I don't want to get too close to them. And it's all, a lot of times the enemy will use secrets to keep us limited being involved in people's lives. Our secrets also cause you not to be too close to have God in your life. And I'm going to use just a little scenario about a closet, that the only thing about skeletons in the closet is really the remains of guilt and shame. The remains of guilt and shame. We hold on to guilt and shame, and we call them skeletons in the closets. But you know what? The word tells me that you have been forgiven, redeemed, and restored by the blood of Jesus. There's no reason for skeletons in the closet. Today, we're cleaning the closet. Today, we're going to clean the closet and make room for Jesus. And last week, before I was getting ready for this message, he shared something with me, and I'll share it with you too. And it seems really simple, but sometimes the simplicity of the gospel goes the deepest. Sometimes revelation is awesome. I love that. If you want someone that's going to sound so sound and all these amazing words and all these kind of degrees, that's not me. That's not me. All right? I'm a ragtag misfit, born again from the streets. I love people, and I love to see the light come on in people's lives about Jesus. So if you're going to see this theologian up here, you're going to miss it. It's not me. But I'll tell you what, his word of God will manifest all by himself. And all we've got to do is speak the word, preach the word, you receive the word, and he shows up. So that's what's going to happen today, and I believe that. But the Holy Spirit told me this. He said, you know what? We put things in the closet that are already cleaned and ready to be used. All right? I'm like, okay, shoes are in there, ready to get put on. The clothes are in there, they're clean. You don't want to put dirty laundry in the closet. And they're hung up. So the Lord was telling me, if you spend time with me in that prayer closet, when you come out of it, you'll be ready to be used. So not only do you go to the closet to get something to get dressed to be ready, but if I go spend time with him in the closet, I will be dressed to be used. And I'm like, Lord, that was awesome. And even if it's just for me, I'm going to take it. So every time I go to the closet, it's almost like it reminds me I got to spend time with him. I want to be used by God. I'm going to go spend time with him. And I'm going to give you the word of God this morning. And actually, I'm going to go through. We're not going to actually have the scriptures on the screen because I'm going to go through them slowly and quickly. So just for the sake of time, because we do have some things after the service, and I'm going to be quick, but I'm going to be thorough at the same time. I'll be simple, thorough, and quick. Amen? Awesome. You guys might be familiar with this if you've been in the church long enough or if you've been saved for several years. Psalms 91. But I'm going to park on Psalms 91 to create a platform for the, everything else I'm going to say. It says in Psalms 91, it says this, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide or rest under the shadow of the Almighty." Church, God has got it covered. He's got it covered. Pastor alluded to it today, that no matter if you have a need or there's anything going on or you had to know that Jesus can do it, He's the solution. But you also have not because you asked not. You've got to go to Him. And then when we pray, we don't pray amiss, but we pray and deliberately tell your needs to your Father, who will not give you a stone when you ask for a fish. Why don't we do that? Here it is. He who dwells, that takes time. Dwells, not visit, not hang out, not give a high five and say, "I was here," and leave. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and you will rest under the shadow of the Almighty. I am an undercover agent because I stay under the shadow of the Almighty from being in His presence. So no matter where I go as a secret agent, I stay undercover, His covering, His hand, His authority, His will, His purpose for my life. And when people get into my bubble, they all also fall underneath that shadow. It won't happen unless you spend time and dwell in the secret place. The secret place is very powerful, just like I alluded to with a superhero. The superhero couldn't be a superhero unless there was a secret place, a hidden secret place. God has got it covered. If it's mentally, physically, spiritually, personally, He's got it covered. The moment that we don't bring it to God and give it to God, we expect, because we're a Christian, things just to happen. They don't just happen. I'll give you an example, real quick example, away from my word. When blind Bartimaeus wanted to see Jesus. Of course, he couldn't see Jesus. He was blind. But he wanted to find Him. And the crowd shunned him and pushed him away and everything else. He got louder and he got louder and he got louder. When you need to see Jesus, when you need to spend time with Jesus, when you need Jesus to be in your life, you don't have your inside voice. You don't use your inside voice when you need Jesus. When you get into the secret place, when you want Him, you'll find Him. And if you make yourself known, He will definitely show up and make Himself known. The whole purpose is that he wanted to see Him. And then when he got to Him, it's crazy. Jesus asked Him what He wants. I'm thinking back, Jesus, I'm blind. You know I'm blind. Why are you asking me? What do I need? But you know what, church? Christians? We do that all the time. We do it all the time. Some things what we need are so obvious, they're so plain, but we say something else. He could say, "Jesus, I'm hungry. Give me a cheeseburger." But he asked for his sight. "Well, I don't understand you. I don't follow you." He asked because he didn't get unless he asked. You won't get unless you ask. You go to a restaurant, right? You got to put in your order, all right? When you put in your order for a steak, you don't get a hot dog, okay? If you get a hot dog, do you like say, "Excuse me, you got the wrong order"? You sure make it known when it comes to your food, right? How about we don't make it known with our prayers? Why don't we make it known with our life? Why don't we make it known with who we are? Unless we keep that secret also, of who we are. I'm going to move on to Matthew 6:6, and it's a real clear, simple scripture. Everything I'm going to give is scriptures you've probably raised up on, you've heard forever, but I'm going to bring it all together for us to really understand that we're an undercover agent to do a work. Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray, and when you go into your room, and when you shut your door and pray to your Father, I don't know about you, but this is very deliberate, okay? Sometimes we just go over scriptures, we quote scriptures, we memorize scriptures, and we just say, "Oh, great." Applying it is understanding it. You can't apply what you don't understand. And he's talking about you getting alone with your personal Father. And when you shut the door to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Lord, where are you when my person was sick? Well, where are you with that job? Where are you with that turmoil? Where are you with this situation? Where are you? Anything like that. Are those conversations done in prayer? Because if those things are done in prayer openly, he will reveal it. Is your life revealed of who you are? It would be obviously revealed of who you are openly because you are already spending time with him secretly. Luke 11:33 says it this way. It says, no one, when they light the lamp and put it in a secret place, or under a basket, but on a lampstand. No one, when he has lit the lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket. He puts it on a lampstand. For those who come in will see the light. Sometimes we only light the lamp in the secret place and we leave it there. The only time that it is lit is when you're alone with him. But it talks about putting it on a lampstand. It's talking about lifting it high. It's talking about making it clear of not only what you have, but you can give. It's only in the secret place that you will actually get those things lit, get that thing on fire so that it can be revealed. You got to have a secret place. But let me ask you, it says when he comes... when those who come in may see the light. When you're around people, do they see anything about him when they're in your presence? Do they see him when they meet you? When they see you, when they know you, when they work with you, do they know him? Do they know anything about you? Or even if you have a secret place, is he still a secret? Because if you have a secret place, it should be revealed and put up on high, no matter where we are. Is there any fruit? Do you bear any fruit from the hidden root? Think about that. If we bear fruit as Christians, all the work as a tree is done underground in the root. You don't see the root. But all the work is done in secret. So after knowing who you are, you'll bear fruit of it. You only bear fruit because of the root. Are you following me? You can say amen. It's okay. It's all right. All right. So when people engage with you and they come into your life or you spend time with them, do they leave with what you offer? Do they leave with fruit? Do they leave your presence? Because every fruit made by God, not by man, you know, the seedless watermelon, that's man, that's not God. All right, think about that for a second. That's a whole other sermon right there. Anything that's made without seed is not God. Everything God creates is made to procreate. We'll leave it right there. Praise the Lord. But what it is that, you know, if I give of what I am, it's meant to be given, pulled from me, from who I am, to multiply. As a Christian, is what I'm doing in secret, what is happening in the roots of who I am I bearing fruit that actually anyone that engages with me will get fruit? All things are made to multiply. Do they know him? By knowing you. Why do we use our inside voice when we talk about our Savior? He is our personal Savior, but why are we a private Christian? You have a secret place, but why is he still a secret? I don't mean this to be hard, but you know what? We're in the times and the days where there is a society, a culture, and a whole movement that's, not saying this in the wrong way, it's the Word of God that's coming for the itching of ears. It is time to stay true to the Word of God. It's time not only to preach the unwatered down, uninhibited, interrupted Word of God. If Jesus Christ saved me, my goal is to save others. See, I can't give you salvation. But my salvation is kept by being with him. So if I stay with him, I'll know his heart, his goal, his vision to do his will. so I can be an undercover agent. Here you go, watch this. We all, most of us got saved to this one scripture. There's other scriptures, but this is, you know, a little perfect one right here. I can't use the right creative words. I'm not really good with creative words sometimes. But in Romans 10, 9, and 10, it says this. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Awesome. Then we skip verse 10. Verse 10 says this. For it is by believing in your heart that you may be right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Wow. You think salvation was that one day. You think because of what you got that one day, it's over. Because you got saved that day by confessing in your heart and believing with your mouth, you have to not stop with confessing with your mouth. All right? If you live by faith, you've got to respond by living by faith. You've got to declare. Why is there no declaration of who we are based on what we got? We've got to give what we got. I got news for you. I lose it daily, so I got to go and get some more. Jesus only did what he did because he got away with his father. He got alone with his daddy, and he only spoke what his daddy said. I want to have that kind of relationship. It says, by leaving your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Salvation is given openly and kept privately. Kept privately. There's nothing religious about me. I can seem religious sometimes. But I want to stay raw and relevant because I want to reach people. And the only way I can do that is if I spend time with them. Every day I got to get alone with them. And he already knows who I am. So he knows you better spend some time with me, boy. You got it all messed up. And there's that time that I spend with him as my father that allows me to be more like him, to look like him, to act like him, to be like him. You know what? I want people to see I have salvation by how I live. It's not a card. It's not a diploma. It's not a certificate on the wall. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle. What are we worshiping? They'll see that. They'll see that. Got quiet in here. I want to go a little bit further with the words of Paul. In Philippians 2:12, it says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to work out the results of your salvation." When I read that, I'm like, oh my God. That's awesome right there. Other interpretation says that you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do we have results of our salvation? It shouldn't be our church attendance. It should be our lifestyle that we're expressing to other people through who we are. It will build the church, but is it going to build the kingdom? I want to be an undercover agent. I have a personal Savior, but I'm not a private Christian. This is what he says. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Have the results of your salvation. Obey God deeply with reverence and fear. This is my favorite in verse 13. It says that, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." Wow. Let's just recap that. This is worth reading again. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases God. That shows me I've got to spend time with him. I have got to be with him. If I'm working out with weights, you're going to see the results. But if God is working with me by being with him, you're going to see the results. That's worth repeating. If I'm working out, you'll see the results of me working out because I'll look buff, like not today. But anyway, That was a different kind of workout. All right. But if I have God working in me because I'm spending time with Him, you will see the results. There is results of salvation. It is not a one-day declaration. It is a lifestyle. It is a worship. So many times I see this, and I don't come to travel and go to churches to be harsh. I come to be true. I come to be true. But there's many times that I've, through youth ministry and everything else, that I've seen three types of Christians. I've seen counterfeit Christians that want to get close, but not have the power thereof. I see those chameleon Christians. They blend into their environment, and they're only Christians around Christians. They're chameleon Christians. They blend into the environment. Oh, the Bible says to be all things to all people to win a few. So a couple beers, because my buddies have a couple beers. That's not good. That's a chameleon Christian. I'm hanging out with my buddies at work, and they do bad jokes, and I do bad jokes, and I laugh at their jokes, so I'm a chameleon Christian. I'm just going to blend in. My Bible says to stand out. My Bible says to be set apart. Because I have the Savior within me. I have the power to be different. The power to be different. One more. There's the counterfeit Christian. There's chameleon Christian. There is the, I should have wrote it down. Just, I know these. I love these. Chameleon Christian, counterfeit Christian. Carnal. That's the other one. Carnal Christian. What is a carnal Christian? Just comes to church and goes home. Checks the box. I'm a Christian. I went to the altar that one time. Everything forward, everything back, it's covered. I'm good. Not so much up here. I can appreciate the culture up here, but I'm from Georgia. Everyone's a Christian. All right? It's like, because you're a Catholic, because so many far back people in your life, they were Catholic at one time, and my last name's the same as your last name, so I'm Catholic. And they never have anything to do with being Catholic. Christian. Christian in Georgia is like saying that I'm white, I'm black, I'm Indian, I'm Christian, I'm Asian. It's really what it is. It's lost its power. It's lost its definition. It's lost its purpose. But up here it's different. Either you love them or you hate them. I love that. It's great. It's awesome. But today we want to love Him more. I like to find Him in public so that He can set me up to reveal Him publicly. I love talking to people. I love talking to people. My wife says, every time we go somewhere, you always try to make a friend. You always talk to someone. I love talking to people. I'll talk about anything. I'll make up stuff because I want to talk up stuff. I mean, I make up as lies, make up as like, hey, red. Oh, I love that. That's my favorite color. Right? It's really black, but it's red, right? Because you know what? I see Him in need. I see Him that He wants someone to talk to. I see that He's angry. I see a need. The Bible says to make the most of every opportunity. And because I spend time with Him, and I'm an undercover agent, I'm looking for opportunities. I'm looking for opportunities. I'm in the grocery store. I'm in the mall. I'm at church. I'm walking down the hallway. I'm going here. I'm going there. I'm looking for opportunities. Because I look for Him in private. I want Him to reveal Him in public. Find Him in private, reveal Him in public. Now, believe it or not, I'm actually just saying all that to come to a close, and we're going to come right back to where we left off. It says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide and rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I want to say, like I said in the beginning, God has got it covered. If you stay underneath His covering, you'll stay under His will, His purpose, His plan for your life. But you've got to stay in His presence. There's so many times that we lose who we are because we lost our time with Him. Dwell. You've got to be deliberate. You're deliberate about when you eat. You're deliberate about when you want to go to bed. Because you might have a job, you're deliberate about getting up. And sometimes we get ourselves out of bed, we set the alarm, we make very deliberate reasons to be who we are because we have a job that pays. Well, I have a Savior that saves. So it's worth setting some time for Him. You'll make time for what you want. You will make time for what you want. I got news for you. You shouldn't want Him. You need Him. You need Him. And if you've ever been behind the veil, my God, if you've ever been behind the veil and you get away from just being this is the holy place. But you know what? If you don't have an altar in your life where you spend time with Him, you'll never experience the Holy of Holies where He dwells. Nothing lives in the Holy of Holies but Him and you. And that is the secret place. We can do church. We can do church. I'm not saying this about your church. I'm saying we can do church, okay? And then it's just the holy place. All right, there is the bread. There's the altar incense. There's the candlestick. Oh, we got church. Everything's where it's supposed to be. Well, I don't want a safe church. I want a church that brings life. And that is where He is. And He is in the holy place. It's behind the veil. What is the veil? The veil is our flesh. The veil is our flesh. Well, Jesus was a final sacrifice. Yes, He was. But He said, follow Him. And He died on the cross, not in vain. But there is an enemy that wants to veil our hearts and veil our minds. And it will be done if you're a carnal Christian and just do church. We might blend in and be a private Christian. And then you'll have a private time, but you'll still stay a private Christian. I keep on saying these things because it goes through my heart. Even if I'm just preaching to myself, it should eagerly convict me to want it more than what I already have it. I don't want to have a personal Savior and a Christian, but be a private Christian. Verse 2, I didn't say earlier, only can happen if you have verse 1. I love that in the Word of God. We take scriptures out sometimes and just use that one scripture. But sometimes you can't have that one scripture unless you already know one before it. In verse 2, it says it this way. After saying verse 1, it says, I will say of the Lord. Man, you can't say anything of the Lord unless you spend time with Him. You can quote scriptures and be all religious, but do you live it? They're like, you know, you go out and tell people scriptures, and they're like, that's good, Joe. Why? Because they don't see any fruit. They're going to see no fruit. It says, I say to the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God. Personalizing, my God. And in Him I will trust. Let me bring it down to your street right now. Do you feel like God has failed you and you have prayed so much to Him? And now you don't pray as much because you feel like He failed you. You feel like He didn't answer you. Well, I know this about my Lord. Pursue Him. Pursue Him. My Bible says to knock. It says to knock. It says to knock. It says to knock. It says to ask, 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 knock, 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 knock. Then the door will be opened. Maybe you asked once, lost your trust, but still keep your title as a Christian. Christian salvation is a process. Paul said, I have finished my race. He was in pursuit of Him until the very end. He was. I want to be in pursuit of Him to the very end. I want to be able to say out loud, say to the world, say to my friends, say to my neighbor, this is what I would say to the Lord. He is my refuge, and I could prove it. He is my fortress, and I could prove it. He is my God, and everyone around me would know that I trust Him and trust Him alone. I'm not wishy-washy about my prayers. I'm not wishy-washy about what I believe. I'm not wishy-washy about where I go. I'm not wishy-washy about what I can do. Because I can do all things through Him. Not through your church, not through your doctrine, not through your degree, not through your salvation, not through your fire insurance. Through Him. And if you're going to do it through Him, you've got to be with Him. You've got to spend time with Him to have a secret weapon. He is my refuge. I'm closing. I'm actually going to close here in a few minutes. If you guys want to take the stage, you're perfectly okay with that. Just a few minutes. We're not going to have an altar call. We're just going to leave with a challenge. And then Pastor's going to take the stage, and we're going to go on with the rest of our service. But I just need a little bit of music just to kind of set the stage for this. I want the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to minister to you. There should be results of our salvation. People should know what you have is worth having. There's two kinds of people. And the first kind is not wrong. But the second type of person is better. And it's only better because of what we've done. Now, that makes sense. Last week, we had this big door on stage. Okay? I wanted a door that opened. It didn't happen. So there's just this door. On the door, it said secret place. Now, there's a lot of times that you can be something without the secret place because he's so awesome. But there's also, we can be better and greater of who he is because of the secret place. So I'm going to use some words here. And I said, you know, there's times where you just say, I'm good. Good sermon, Pastor. That's awesome. I'm good. Do you want prayer? I'm good. Hey, do you want me to cook dinner? I'm good. When Christians say I'm good, it's say don't get too close. When Christians say I'm good, it means I got this satisfied. I'm okay. It's safe to say I'm good. Or how about I'm trying. Go to church. I'm trying to live right. Trying is the wrong word. Trying means I will go until I don't want to. Trying means I'll go until I can't. Trying means I have an already made up mind of when I'm going to stop. Trying. The church is full of trying. There's nothing wrong with trying, but there is a different thing. How about believing? Of course we believe. We believe in God. But a lot of people believe in stuff. So sometimes just believing is not good enough. Or how about faith? All right? We live by faith. That's absolute. We live by faith, right? Not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. But you know what? Those are all church sayings. But I'm going to tell you that not only have I have or still trying to do this, that our whole verbiage can change, especially when we leave the huddle. For me, this is the huddle. The game hasn't even begun. This is the locker room. Because when we leave here, it's when it's game time. When we leave here, it's all about doing the plan. When we leave here, when you hear the word, you hear it from the coach. You know where the ball is going to go. You know what the roles you got to play. Even if you'll never get the ball, you know what you're supposed to do because we're team. Church is team. Church is huddle. Church is locker room. When we leave here, it's game time. So by faith. But I found this out, that when I go from the holy place, past the veil, into the holy of holies, my words change from good to God. God. Well, I'm good. No, I need God. No, everything's okay. I'm satisfied. I love it. I've got great membership. Or anything. I'm saved. It's awesome. I'm an usher. I'm a teacher. I'm an associate. You don't want to be good. You want God. And the only way you're going to get God is from the secret place. Or how about try. I'm going to try. Keep trying. Get in the secret place and you'll start doing. You go from trying and you spend time with Him and then you'll start doing. Well, I'm called. Well, go back to the call and answer the call in the quiet time, in the secret place, and listen to what the caller is trying to tell you. It's probably called the Great Commission. Go out and preach the gospel. How about believe? There's nothing wrong with believing, but it's time to start knowing. There's nothing wrong with believing, but when you pray, you're going to believe, but when you pray in such a way that you know. You know that your Father hears you. You know that where two agree in any one thing, it shall be done. That's not trying. That's knowing. That's knowing. It says so you can speak to this mountain and cast it into the sea. That's knowing. That's not believing. That you can pray for the sick and they can be healed. That's not believing. That's knowing. I do this crazy thing. When I pray, I fully feel this. I'm a little crazy. I just feel virtue leaving me. I feel healing leaving me. It ain't about me. It's about what I believe. It's where I've been. I want people to take fruit from who I am because of where I've been. How about faith? Faith is still seeing dimly. Faith is still in the pursuit of. There's nothing wrong with that. But are we in the place of trusting? There's so many things I'll do by faith, and other things I'll totally trust without seeing, because I know him. I don't have to have faith for that child to be healed. I know my Father, and he can heal. I trust in him alone. I went on a mission trip, and we were talking about faith, and the missionary's son, actually the pastor's son, we were the missionaries, we went to the pastor's son, and the pastor's son was all excited about God. He's all excited about God, and I'm thinking, you act like you're a born-again, like, yesterday Christian. You're so hungry like that. He says, I'm just wanting to see God at every minute. And I said, well, how do you do that? He said, I have faith because I can't see. I said, what? He says, if I have this kind of faith, I will see. I said, what is that? And it says, greater for those that don't see and believe than those that see and believe. Man, do you know that when you come out of the secret place, you can see things you saw before? That you'll say things you've never done before, say before? That God will empower you and equip you to do things you've never done because you're a Christian. Not because you have church attendance and you have the card saying your salvation. It is the result of your salvation. I'm talking about going from the holy place to the holy of holies, from being good to God, from trying to doing, from believing to knowing, to having faith and then trusting in him alone. When I come out of the secret place, I go in. There's times I'm dealing with in my life right now, and I could not be stable. I could not go on unless I spend time with him. Because after spending time with him, I come out without a problem. Because he's got it covered. Did you catch me? Did you hear me? There's so many things you will not know that God's got it covered unless you spend time with him. For him to say, son, daughter, I'm your daddy. I got this. Trust me. I got this. You don't have to try. Just know I am God. We're not going to stretch out the service, but I'm going to leave you just with that, with a charge, with a challenge, with a commission. Because I'll tell you this, this is a serious fact. I can't change you. Only God can change you. Can I tell you one last little story? Thank you. Thank you. I've never done this at the end of the service. Usually do this at the beginning of the service, but I want to just give a little push. Because if we're not going to come down, I want to give a little push for God to minister to you. If I went to the grocery store, or I went to any store, and I was going to buy this pumpkin, and I only had $10. But this pumpkin was $8.25. Now I'm looking around, and I don't see any other pumpkin, and I see that I want that pumpkin for $8.25, and I bring it to the register, and I give him $10. I'm giving him more than it's worth. He's going to give me back what? Change. Listen to me, church. Anytime you give more than it's worth, you will get change. You want to worship? Worship more. You'll get change. You read? Read more. You'll get change. You want God more? Spend more time with him. He will bring change. Change only comes by giving more than it's worth. I have this feeling that Jesus gave it all. He never held back. Why? It's because his whole purpose was to bring change and to build his kingdom. My heart grieves for man building their own kingdoms. When the times we're moving into, it's time to build the kingdom by speaking the truth. And the only time you can speak the truth is spending time with your Savior. I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to let Pastor take over the service. We'll go from there. But as I pray, I want everyone eyes closed. Just raise your hand if you're just going to say, you know what, Lord, you're not telling me, you're telling Lord. I'm going to make an act of faith and raise my hand and saying, I need more of you. I'm going to spend more time with you. I need a secret place. I need to find a secret place. So as I pray, as your eyes are closed, go ahead and just raise your hand. You can do it just a second. Just pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for every single person here. Every single one under the sound of my voice. Father God, thank you for this church. Thank you for the purpose and the plan in this community, for what you're going to do here, Father God. I believe not only by faith, but I know, Father God, that you have planted this pastor, you have planted this church for not only a season, but for a time, and a time just like this. I ask you, Father God, to empower these people, to let them find you, they to receive you, and they'd go deeper in you, Father God, that you would just bring a challenge to them to be more like you. Let they bear fruit, Father God. Every single one of them bear fruit. Fruit that multiplies. Fruit that remains. We thank you, Father God, that you give a seed to the sower. Let's start sowing. Let's start sowing, Father God. We pray to the Lord of the harvest, who you are, that you send in laborers. I ask you to pray that you send in laborers to this church. You send in leaders to this church. Send in people to this church. Send salvation be upon this church and these walls. We praise you, Father God, for what you're doing here. We thank you in advance for what is going to happen. We praise you for that also. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for allowing me to share with you today.